get right into the scripture here this morning. I want to read for you a couple of verses out of Luke chapter 24. And it says, Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 4. It says, "While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen.'" Amen. Amen. I want you to pray with me. Lord God, we thank you that we serve a risen Savior today. I thank you, Father, for your word that teaches us your truth and how to live life for you. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on a cross and to be placed into a grave and to be risen from the dead, that we might live in resurrection power as well, God. We come before you now, and we ask, God, that you would help us to hear your voice. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, and that you would help us all just simply to say yes to you. Whatever that might look like and whatever that might mean, God, we want to say yes to you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is why we meet today. Amen. We come together on this day in particular to celebrate the fact that Jesus is no longer in a tomb. Right? If they ever find a bone that belongs to Jesus, if you can prove to me that you can find a bone that belongs to Jesus, all of this is for naught. But I celebrate today because he is risen indeed. This is the hope of our salvation. Because Jesus is alive, we can be made alive as well. And so we come together to celebrate. Amen? I remember, obviously for a pastor, Easter is kind of a big day, right? And when I was pastoring in Kentucky, there was one Sunday that I was trying to go big. I'm not gonna lie. I was trying to knock this thing out the park, right? And so I had this piece of plywood that was kind of in the center here, and I was gonna kind of use it as sort of an illustration for how our lives can be wounded sometimes, right? And so again, I was like, I don't even know. I was probably like 25 at the time. Looking back, this is probably not the best idea, but even still, I decided that what would be a great way to illustrate this is if I had a hatchet, and I took that hatchet, and I just worked that plywood all the way through, right? Like, wouldn't it be a sight just to hear the sound of boom, right? And to see the wood fly, and again, it's plywood, so it's all the layers, and so it's popping all over the place and everything like this. And so I practiced it, y'all. You got to know this now. The week before, that Sunday, I was like, okay, I got this other piece of wood out. I'm in this little back garage, and I am working this thing. Oh, to pieces, literally to pieces. And I'm really glad that nobody came driving by, because I don't know what kind of stories might have made it into the news of that little local town. But Sunday morning, get there. I got the wood up there. Everybody's like, oh, man, what's Pastor Tim doing now? You know how you guys usually ask each Sunday morning. What is Pastor Tim up to now, right? And so they see this wood up there and everything, and I read the scripture, and I got that hatchet out, and it was so quiet in there. It was amazing, right? I was like, I've got them right where I want them, right? And I go, and bam, I hit that thing just like I practiced and everything. It was awesome. And I go, and bam, I hit that thing a second time, and I pull it back, and the head came off of the hatchet. And I mean, it was not light, right? So, I mean, when it hit the ground, it was like thud, right? And here I am holding a stick in my hand. And I'm supposed to be illustrating, you know, how it was. And so, in a matter of moments there, my amazing, wonderful illustration just went all to the pot right there, right? Now, what am I going to do? I'm a pastor on Easter Sunday without an illustration. Maybe you've been in places like that where you got it all planned out, right? How it's supposed to go, right? But then for some reason, I think this doesn't go the way you expect. expected it to, right? Now, what's worse about that is, again, I'm a 25-year-old pastor, and there's nobody on my board there. There's nobody that's within 20 years of my age, right? And so now I'm this guy who, you know, the enemy starts working into, like, man, what are you even doing? Right? And all of a sudden, you start hearing these messages of, you're not even that good anyway, right? All these kinds of things, right? These attacks from the enemy that don't have anything to do with the hatchet laying on the floor. It certainly don't have anything to do with the good news of Jesus Christ that He is risen and risen indeed. Like it doesn't have anything to do with all any of that. But yet, there's a stuff that's just going on in the back of my mind that even, I'll be honest with you, that even as I preach from Sunday to Sunday, I have to continue to come back to who God has called me to be, because the enemy will try to tell me lies, even as I stand before you now. But I've not just experienced that on a Easter Sunday with a killer illustration, but even at home, right? I try to parent my kids in a way that is godly, and yet I will plan so well. Oh my goodness, like I'll have the whole thing like drawn up in my head of, okay, when they wake up, this is what I'm going to say, and I'm going to show them what the Spirit of God looks like, and then they wake up and they start talking and all goes out the window, right? Let alone, you know, ways in which I mess up as a husband. And there's so many ways that the enemy can get in your mind and try to tell you who you aren't, right? Try to tell you how you're not good enough and how everything that you might try to do is just going to end up like a broken hatchet on the ground. Right? See, what I want to do today, we're gonna start a new sermon series today called Come Alive. And in this, what we're going to talk about is not only the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead, but I want to look into, like, who it is that God sent this message to, and what it is that, what was some of the stuff that they were dealing with, and how did they work through all of that? And so we're going to get into Luke chapter 24 and actually survey these things. So I want to start, again, back in Luke 24 and jump in here in verse 1. I'm going to go back a little bit from where I read just a moment ago. Luke 24, verse 1, it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you've not been with us over the last few weeks, we've been talking about, we were going through a series on Jesus and the festivals in the Old Testament. And one of the things we talked a lot about is how you couldn't actually participate in those festivals unless you were considered to be ceremonially clean, right? Well, one of the things that makes you unclean, one of the things that is very clear that makes you unclean, according to Jewish law, is touching the dead. Right? And here's something the Lord kind of revealed to me that I want us to understand in all of this, is that it is not surprising to me that the women went to take care of Jesus' body. Right? They loved him. They did. And there's no question about that. They went because they wanted to serve their Lord and Savior. What I find peculiar is that nobody else went with them. Right? Why weren't the disciples, like, knocking down the door to be able to, like, why wasn't Peter, like, racing them to get there? Right? Why were the women the only ones that were going? And part of what I began to recognize was that when the women went there to prepare the body of Jesus, they were making themselves unclean just by touching his body. Right? That was Jewish law. And so, in essence, because the disciples weren't there, they were saving themselves for being clean still. So in other words, you've got these women that love Jesus anyway, and so it's almost as if the disciples are saying, you know what, ladies, you just go on and do that. Let's be honest, another something else that makes people unclean is when women would have their monthly cycle, right? So women are unclean a lot of time anyway, right? So what's the big deal that they're unclean again? I mean, what, right? And so think about this, though. It's almost as if these ladies are expendable. It's almost as if it's like, well, what's the matter? I mean, why don't I just stay clean and you can do all of the work with Jesus' dead body? It's almost as if, even though they loved Jesus, the disciples are saying, you know what? You can just go on and do that. We don't really need to. I know that sometimes we can kind of feel expendable as well. We can kind of feel like, you know what, if I wasn't around anymore, would anybody really even notice? If I had to be cast out from the rest of the body, if I had to be outside the camp, if you will, because I was unclean, if I had to be gone for a week, would anybody even notice? Would anybody even care if I wasn't here? And I wonder if that's some of what these women are dealing with, too. Nobody else is going with them. It looks as if they're expendable, like it doesn't even really matter. So you got these women who are on their way to take care of Jesus, and they want to do it because they love him, but at the same time, it's as if nobody really cares that they're going to be gone for a week because of the fact that they're touching a dead body. I want to skip down to verse 9. Luke 24, verse 9, it says, and I realize I'm kind of jumping around the story here, but there's a reason for that. Verse 9 says, when these ladies came back from the tomb, this is after they've heard the good news that Jesus is risen. It says, when these ladies came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to the disciples, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with him who told this to the disciples. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Now, I am. I want us to really understand why it was so hard for the disciples to receive this. And imagine, they had just spent 3 years of their lives following this guy that they thought was the God, right? And in one day, everything that they thought they knew seemed to be crumbling down. So you've got Jesus who they'd seen perform miracles, that they'd heard him teach in powerful ways, that they'd seen him refute the government and the religious establishment and all these things, right? Like, he's done he raised people from the dead. Like they've seen all of this stuff, yet Jesus died on a cross and they saw it with their own eyes. And they are so confused right now. They don't know which end is up. They're defeated. And they don't know what to do. And then here come these women. Now, I don't know that this is how it happened, but I do know that when I have good news, I'm kind of all over the place when I'm sharing that good news sometimes. You may well tell by the way I preach a sermon. So I'm going to have you help me with this, because I think this might help us kind of understand maybe what it might have sounded like when the women showed up to the disciples and they were kind of sharing this good news. So here's what we're going to do. This section over here, it's audience participation here, all right? But I need everybody to do it, all right, for me? So this section over here, what you are going to say in just a moment, all right, now, in just a moment, you're going to say, Jesus is risen, all right? I'll give you the nod. All right, in the center here, you're just simply going to say, we saw angels at the tomb. It's a little bit longer, but I believe you can do it, all right? We saw angels at the tomb. And then the right side over here, you're just simply going to say, raised on the third day, all right? He is risen. We saw angels at the tomb. Angels on the third day. Now, when I give you the signal, this is not the signal. When I give you the signal, all of you are going to say your thing at the same time, Here we go. I'm going to count it down for you to make it real easy. I'll tell you when to stop. Just keep saying it until I tell you to stop, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Go. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. All right, now stop. That sounded like nonsense, didn't it? Am I right? I mean, I don't know if you've been with a group of people that all have the same good news to share or not, but they ain't waiting for each other to talk, are they? Right? Now, it doesn't exactly say this in the Word, but in my sanctified imagination, it just makes me wonder if this is not what it sounded like when these ladies got there to those disciples. Like, maybe they were just sitting back on, can you just slow down for a minute? Right? Maybe they just like, hey, hold on, just one at a time. Y'all sound crazy right now, okay? Stop, stop. But even more than that, let's be honest. If you are already feeling defeated and somebody brings you good news, you ain't jumping up and down for it, right? If you already feel defeated and somebody could come and say, hey, I just won the lottery. Oh, great. Well, I didn't. Right? I mean, that's kind of where we go, right? If we're already feeling bad, if we're already confused, if we're already feeling hopeless, right? We already are there. And even when other people try to share good news with us, hard to receive sometimes, isn't it? I wonder if that's not where the disciples were right here. Maybe that's why it seemed more like nonsense. Maybe it wasn't necessarily the way they presented it. They felt so defeated. They didn't think good news was even possible anymore. Maybe that's where you are too. Maybe life has been so hard on you. Not even just now, maybe just all through life. Maybe you've gone through some things that are just difficult. And you might hear someone like me trying to tell you that God is good and that Jesus is able to bring you through anything that you might be enduring. And it's just hard to receive that sometimes. Life is just hard. I want you to know, the disciples didn't get it at first either. They didn't get it at first either. They struggled. And so did these women. So the big question is, then what did they do? Like, what did these ladies do? What did the disciples do? Like, how did they respond to that? Like, how did they actually respond to the fact that Jesus has resurrected from the dead? How did they respond to this good news that Jesus is no longer in the grave? Like what did they do next? Right? So let's go back to these ladies here. Because what the ladies did was the angels took them through an exercise of remembering. Go with me to verse 6. Luke 24, verse 6. And I'm actually going to start kind of halfway through there. It says, this is the angel talking to the women. It says, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And verse 8 says, then they remembered his words. Church, I want you to know this morning, the devil is a liar and a thief. He is a liar and a thief, and he will steal God's truth from you, and he will lie about what it actually is. He will steal the value from yourself, and he will lie about how important you are to God. The devil is a liar and a thief, and if we are not careful to make sure that we are grounded in his truth, he will change that truth in our minds about him and about ourselves. But if we stop and we listen to the voice of God, we will remember. We'll remember things like, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Right? We'll remember things like, for God so loved the world gave his one and only Son, that we might have everlasting life. We will remember things like amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. These women listened to what God was saying, and they remembered what they already knew. This is where the enemy will get us. The enemy knows that we have good news in our heads already. The enemy knows that it's already in there. The enemy knows that gospel seed has already been planted in our minds. What we have to do is try to recall that. And what the enemy is trying to do is to keep us from that. See, if we're gonna be made alive in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, then we can't just stay defeated. We can't just stay victimized. We can't just stay broken. We've got to begin to remember that there is good news, and that good news applies to my brokenness. That good news applies to my life, no matter how expendable anybody else thinks I am. Like, that good news puts value inside of me, even if I feel worthless. Good news still applies. But we only live in that good news when we remember that good news. And so we've got to come back to remembering what it is that God has said to us. So that's what the ladies did. But what about Peter? Look at verse 12 in chapter 24 there of Luke. It says, Peter, however, remember, the disciples, they're all talking about how these women are speaking nonsense and everything. But verse 12, Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. The testimony of the women still seemed like nonsense to him. And he still didn't understand what had happened. But he wasn't just going to sit back and do nothing anymore. He had to sit back all day on Saturday. Because it was the Sabbath, he wasn't allowed to do anything. There wasn't any work he was allowed to do. He wasn't able to go pay his respects. He had to just sit back and do nothing. But now that he's heard this news, he's not just going to sit back anymore. Like, he doesn't understand everything. He doesn't have answers for everything. And he still thinks these women are crazy. But he's going to go and seek this thing out for himself. Got up and he ran to the tomb. And he didn't let his questions hold him back. Church, I want you to hear today. You may never get all of your questions answered. And that might not seem like good news. You might never get all of your questions answered. But I want you to know that Jesus is still risen from the dead anyway. The tomb is still empty anyway. You might not understand how it's happening. You might not even really understand how people are trying to present this thing to you. You might not get any of that. But what I do want to encourage you to do is don't let those questions hold you back. Don't let those questions keep you from faith in the one who died so that you could be made alive. But don't let those questions keep you from actually walking in the blessing and the favor that he has for you. Yes, you're going to have questions. Can I just be honest? Well, it's always weird when I say, can I be honest with you? Because then I feel like I'm saying, hey, can I lie to you every other time? This is not what I mean. Let me be an extra level of transparent here. I think that's what I'm trying to say. I still have some questions. Like, there are some things that I have not figured out, right? And if you'd like I would love to sit down and talk with you about all the questions that I have about God and the Bible and just different stuff that's in there. Like I have a feeling, I know this for sure, maybe the Lord will reveal some things to me that I've not yet received into my spirit. But I have a feeling I'm probably going to die with those questions in my mind. But I'm also going to die with Jesus as my Savior. Those questions are not going to keep me from everything that he has for me. That would be victory for the enemy. See, the enemy is the one who is trying to tell us. The devil is the one who is trying to convince us that if we don't have every answer or every question answered, well, then you can't follow him. How can you follow something you still have questions about? Well, I'm telling you right now, everybody who followed Jesus had questions about him. Everybody. He calmed the storm. The disciples that were in the boat with him when he calmed the storm looked at him and said, "Who is this dude?" But they didn't jump out the boat. They stayed right there with him. Because he has the power of life. And God raised him from the dead. And that same power is available to us even now, not because our questions are answered, but even in spite of the questions that aren't. Jesus wasn't the only one who came alive that day. In fact, I want to go ahead and invite the worship team to come back up.
Jesus was not the only one who came alive. See, because these women, these expendable women, these women that were sort of cast off, if you will, to do the dirty work, how they have become the messengers of the greatest message the world will ever have. God could have sent angels to the room where the disciples were. Like, he didn't have to send the angels to the tomb. He could have just left the women there wondering what was going on. He could have let them stand there with spices in their hand and then enter the tomb. Just looking around like, well, what are we doing now? He didn't do that. He actually sent the angels to the tomb. He's telling them that they felt like, yeah, they would have. This is the time that they have little value to the world community. They felt very hard to be able to. That he's